Now, of course, we saw that Morgan Stanley report issued earlier this week. Very positive outlook in terms of China. It was entitled, in fact, Why We Are Bullish on China. I want to talk particularly about, I guess, the equity side. You're seeing quite a bit of a strong upside in the A-share market in China this year.
Yes, we're bullish on the onshore market and also the offshore market. Chinese stocks traded here in Hong Kong and in the US. Our Shanghai composite target is 4,400. It is quite bullish. Our basic story is that the domestic investor is likely to rotate out of bonds and out of property back into stocks. The economy has been firming for almost a year now, and corporate earnings growth will probably be quite strong. It's interesting to hear on your prior remarks on your show about the equities futures restrictions being reduced today. So we're getting some regulatory support as well.
Where does the U.S. And monetary policy here come into play? And maybe not just monetary policy, but trade tension between the U.S. and China.
Yes, on that latter topic, we wrote quite a few reports in January about trade protectionism risk as it affects China. I think one of the important points to make about that is that actually listed equities in China have very limited export revenue sensitivity to the U.S. It's the case that if you look at stocks that have, say, more than 10% of their revenues coming from the U.S., they're less than 2% of market cap. Now, obviously, the economy has linkages to the U.S., but remember, a lot of it is multinationals who produce in China and export into the U.S. So as we think about this, it's definitely a downside tail risk, but it's maybe not as large as meets the eye at first sight.
So with that in mind, do you think that this rally that we've seen, particularly in the H share market, is more dependent on what we're seeing in this part of the world rather than what we've been seeing in the U.S. trade?
So, yeah, we've predominantly been bullish MSCI China, which is the broadest index of Chinese stocks, and crucially that includes the large US-listed internet plays. But H shares have also done well, and we've been quite bullish on Chinese financials that dominate that index recently. We think one of the things that will be happening on Chinese financials is that they will not cut their dividends this year. They cut them last year. As the economy stabilizes, they should be able to hold those dividends. Obviously, H shares are affected by global factors, you know, like monetary policy in the US, like this debate over protectionism, and foreign investors may well assign a lower multiple to H shares were we to get an aggressive Fed hike cycle, for example. But overall, with the Chinese economy itself in a pretty good position cyclically, and then we argue in the report structurally, probably better position than the generalist investor thinks, we're bullish on China equities.
So if you're expecting then the domestic Chinese investor to kind of rotate out of some of the other financial assets like real estate and move back into equities, how does that fit with the narrative that's developing out of the POBOC where they're tightening credit and trying to take liquidity out of the system?
Well, they're tightening from a position of strength. This time a year ago, they were easing into a very difficult macro environment, at the same time tightening exchange controls. But they're in a far better cyclical position now, so they can normalize policy somewhat. So just as the first rate hike in the cycle in the U.S. didn't do anything to derail the bull market in the S&P because it was tightening into a position of strength, I don't think there's a particular reason to worry about the PBOC tightening at the margin right now.
So in your notes, you've accurately put that China has outperformed emerging markets year to date. What is your view, though, on some of these other emerging markets? What do you like in the region?
Yes, we upgraded MSCI China back to overweight last November versus EM, and we have had a bias to be overweight China over the years. And we pointed out in our note that China has persistently outperformed EM. There are some other markets that do persistently outperform over the cycle. India is one that we have gone back to a large overweight on. So for us this year, China and India are the two markets we prefer the most. And we've gone a little bit more cautious on some of the more tech-sensitive markets here, so particularly Taiwan and Korea we're neutral on. And if you go back somewhere in the past, you know, we were overweight those markets.
You know, a number of your competitors have been very cautious on China because of the debt situation. Is this something that you're relatively confident will not balloon, let's say, into a bigger problem?
So we ourselves have also written a lot about the debt challenges, the SOE reform challenges, the need to slow the growth of credit to GDP. Obviously, credit to GDP did expand significantly in the easing cycle last year. We think the next 2 years, the growth of credit to GDP will be significantly slower. But remember, it's self-funded growth. It's not at the goodwill of foreigners in the sense of borrowing from overseas, and that's somewhat atypical in an emerging markets context. And we think that the bear case in relation to China's challenges in areas like debt and leverage has had, I would say, too much of an airing. And what hasn't been given enough of an airing is the bull case, which is undeniable. This has been already the world's most significant economic transition from low-income status to middle-income status. We're making a big claim in this report that China can become a high-income country in the next 10 years. I've covered China for the last 20 years, so I hope to be with you in 10 years' time and say that that's actually happened.
We hope so too. Now, yeah, I was just actually looking at that part of the report where you say China's on its way to becoming a high-income nation by 2027. So within this next 10 years, we know that Chinese investors like property. Do you think as well, obviously you're very bullish on markets, where else might be they putting their money? Could we see some buying coming into bonds as well?
Well, actually, I would recommend stocks, not just because I'm an equities player, but if you actually look at what's going on within the index, if you say even look at the offshore index, we're transitioning very quickly from an SOE-dominated index. MSCI China was 95% SOE in 2005. Last year, the SOE and non-SOE were roughly 50-50. We think in the next 4 years, by 2020, the non-SOE will reach 70% of market cap. So we're constantly getting these new listings in the private sector in China, in sectors like IT, software, hardware, consumer discretionary, a whole host of services from educational to travel to health. And for all the debate about excess capacity, the steel industry, I think people often miss the fact that the economy has a very large, vibrant and rapidly growing domestic consumer and services sector. And that is where you'll make the most money in the stock market.
Jonathan, very quickly, from the U.S. perspective, when we talk about China, we frequently kind of fixate on the currency, and we know that they have been drawing down on foreign reserves to defend the yuan. I mean, where do you think the yuan goes from here?
So we expect a modest weakening from here to 7.3 to the dollar but by the end of this year, but that's much less of a weakening than we had over the 18 months from the summer of 2015 to the end of last year. So again, with the cyclical improvement in China, there'll be less, and with nominal interest rates coming up, there'll be less downward pressure on the renminbi than we had last year.